This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Seven after the hour, it's Monday, the 26th of October. I'm Doug Steffen. Yep, that's me. Jennifer Horan. Yep, that's her. Victoria Keelan. Yes, I'm sure that's her. We're all here at the ready for the DJV program. You can find us every day, all day long, actually. If you go to the DJVshow.com, you can hear the trailer of the program all through the day. Not even the trailer, I mean the whole thing. But it trails through the day, so you can hear the whole program. If you'd like to, boy, isn't that exciting. And speaking of exciting.
On repeat. Just listen
yes,
all day long.
Three-peat, four-peat, five-peat, six-peat.
All the peats.
So there were rallies, both of the major candidates and their surrogates out on the stump. A lot of people listening to the various candidates and some upset here and there where people show up and there's some protests, yada, yada, yada. So the early voting centers, hopefully nobody is going to be dumb enough to have or the gall to say, well, Trump's leading in Pennsylvania. Or and they're not supposed to know, right? None of these
right.
votes are supposed
you
to be
can't.
Opened
yeah.
or counted until Election Day. Am I safe
right.
saying that?
Yes, they are not supposed okay. to do any pre-counting.
How do
at all.
We know they will not be opened or counted?
I thought in states where early voting is allowed that they do start counting, but they don't release any information.
They're
until...
not supposed to release any information. I don't
right.
think they're supposed to start counting. I mean, there are some maybe some state rules or counties that would do that. But do you trust anybody in this this data to keep their mouth shut? I
no.
don't. I think that early projections that you're seeing when they say, "Oh, more Democrats have voted here, more Republicans have voted here," it's because of voter registration. So they're predicting what people might be voting based on their party registration. But that's all it really is. It doesn't take into account anybody who's crossing over or any of that stuff. So I don't think they're supposed to, but who knows? There are some states and municipalities that get to make that determination as to what their rules look like. That's part of the reason why a lot of people are a bit nervous about election night, because different states have different rules about how long they're going to count votes. And that makes it really confusing for a lot of people, because we tend to think about the rules that happen in our own backyard. We don't think about the rules that are happening in Pennsylvania or in Wisconsin or in Michigan. And so those are really the states that are going to determine all of this once their counting is done. And are they going to be able to do it quickly and efficiently? That's going to be the question. So 58+ million people have already voted in this election. That is well outpacing 2016's early voting. But think about this. Is it really not a fair comparison? Because this year, early voting has been touted. In fact, like in Victoria State, it's the only option. So to do mail-in is the only way to go. So obviously, people are getting their ballots back now in a state like
California.
Which,
when you think about it, is pretty damned outrageous, even on the face of it, that you can't go to the poll, which is the tradition.
I agree with you. In California, you can go to the poll. It's my home state. I'm going to be going to the polls. I'll probably be doing early voting. I may go this coming weekend.
Not me. But I'm going on the day.
I know. I like going on Election Day, too, and I might. But
I
we'll
I
see.
Could,
I think I have to work
yeah,
on
can.
Election
That's
Day.
That's outrageous, I think, Victoria.
But here's the thing. I think that it's hard to compare apples to oranges. People are trying to make a lot out of early voting. I think it is still very much in play, and I think for any side to start crowing about victory, it's just it's really stupid, because there is a
More
lot.
Than that.
Yeah,
it's unethical.
It's silly. And so I think that's why you're seeing the candidates try to take it really slowly about saying it's still 8 days and there's still a lot of time and anything can happen. And I think that's really true. But those early votes, tough to change. You can change them if you really have a desire to, but
mm-hmm.
how many people are going to take those steps to do that if yeah, they
most
want
Most people
to?
Don't even know you can do that. They think once you voted, that's it. Speaking about voting, Lisa Murkowski says she's voting for Amy Coney Barrett. So who is Lisa Murkowski and why is this important?
It's important. She's a senator from Arkansas, from Alaska, not Arkansas, one of those A states. And it's important because early on she said she wouldn't vote for Amy Coney Barrett.
She's a Republican or
she's a Republican. She and Susan Collins are very much in the same boat, the senator from Maine, where they're almost independent, but they are registered Republicans. They caucus with Republicans. Right. Murkowski said that she wasn't going to do it. So did Susan Collins. But she said after hearing the testimony of Amy Coney Barrett that she was compelled. I think she saw her numbers in the state. And the numbers of people across the country, quite frankly, who think that Amy Coney Barrett's not the scariest thing on the planet, and more than half of Americans support her confirmation. And so she changed her mind, and she said she is going to vote. That happens today, by the way. I think 8 o'clock Eastern time, if everything goes kind of as it should, there could
be
some last minute interruptions. No, the committee already voted last week. This is a full Senate vote. She'll be confirmed probably
today.
By tonight. Yeah.
Okay. So when does she get sworn in?
She could be sworn in any time. A lot of people think it'll probably happen over the weekend so that it can be done and you get the full pomp and circumstance before
the
election.
So how much help is it or not to the election of Republicans in general or to Trump or the what is getting her done or getting this process done before the election? What does that do?
It's an enthusiasm driver for both parties. I think Republicans are really gung-ho about getting this done, and I think Democrats are really gung-ho about it not getting done. So I think, I don't know if it'll ultimately impact anything with the election, but I think it's one of those things that can drive voter enthusiasm for people who haven't voted yet.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's the story with the COVID relief deal? I'm trying to figure out, do we have one or we don't have one? Are they voting on it?
Question of the day, isn't it? I don't know. Pelosi got hammered pretty hard on the Sunday shows this weekend because as I think it was George Stephanopoulos was... No, it was Jake Tapper she was with. And Tapper said, you know, Republicans have pretty much caved to everything you want. I know. They all sound the same. He said, you know, they've caved to everything you want. Why don't you just go with it now? And she, gave some non-answer about it. So, I don't know. She says she's still hopeful that something could happen before the election. But who knows? She could be just holding off until after the election to see if it helps.
What really is gained, though? I mean, ladies, what is gained by putting something like that off until after the election or any of these things? I mean, even in business, I'm finding people, well, we'll make a decision on whether to advertise after the election. What the hell difference does it make? What the election is, becomes
well,
like,
well,
the holidays are coming. We can't make a decision until January because it's the holidays.
They just don't want to think about it is their answer. But I think for politics, it's different because I think you do want people to think about it before the election. I think a stimulus bill for both parties before the election would be incredibly helpful because
that's what I'm saying.
You have
both parties saying
it's the other party's fault, and that's not helping anybody. So I think people who are just tired of government are going to be overwhelmed by the fact that people's politics are coming before their well-being in Congress, and that's a turnoff, I think, for most.
Can I ask you about, apparently, what show was Pelosi on? I don't watch the Sunday morning shows.
I think it was Tapper. She was on State of the Union.
Okay. So she was asked about Biden threatening to end the oil industry. And she said something about being a Christian.
She's a nut.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Nancy has said some really crazy things over the last few weeks. I think this has been a lot for her. But she said it's a Christian response.
Is there a move with the Democrats to get her out if they're reelected? Does she get booted? And somebody else who maybe is more appealing and maybe is easier to work with becomes the
AOC
Speaker of the
House?
AOC
was asked about it this weekend. I think she was also on Tapper Show. She's on one of the Sunday shows. Maybe it was Stephanopoulos. Again, they all blend together. But she was asked about whether or not she would support Pelosi as Speaker if Democrats win the majority again in the House, which they most likely will. And she said, well, if she's the most progressive candidate for Speaker of the House. So I don't know, AOC is still looking for maybe someone else to take over.
Ooh,
but she made a deal with Pelosi the last time around.
And why is she so important? She's a freshman congressman.
The deal that she made to bring the progressive energy to Nancy Pelosi to support her as Speaker, Nancy Pelosi lets her review everything. So that's why she is so important because Nancy Pelosi lets her,
what does that mean, review
It means
everything.
That AOC gets to review all the stuff that Nancy Pelosi gets to see. So she
like
acts
she's a
kind
supervisor
of
or what is that?
She gets
what does that
to
mean?
Chime in on it, that's for sure. That's the deal they cut 2 years ago behind closed doors.
Whew. Man, you're talking about somebody who can make noise and become...
I think it's more than just AOC, but you have... whatever.
Go ahead. Who else is it?
I don't know. I don't think it's just AOC. I think that the progressive wing of the party, I think, should have they should have a voice. And so to just, you know, rely on Nancy Pelosi's, what, 80, we found out last week? She doesn't look it, but, you know, like, we can't just... She's not
84?
Or, no, 80. No. Feinstein's 84. Sorry.
Yeah. So, like, you, I mean, but we can't just, you know, as a member of the party, I don't want to just leave it to everyone who's 80. Sorry, no offense, boomers, but, you know, the party has to have, we have to have younger progressive people talking about things that are important to young progressive voters. So it's the same thing in the Republican Party, I would imagine. You have younger people coming up who probably maybe have different priorities than the people who are 80 years old.
The Republican leadership's actually pretty young. Kevin McCarthy, I think, is in his late 40s, so he's actually on the young side.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why all this all gets dumped on Democrats. Oh, you know, when you
well,
guys have a much
younger
I'm just
telling you that there's a deal. There was a deal struck because AOC is very powerful. I know people like to sometimes do that, and sometimes they don't, because she catches a lot of energy and she gets a lot of attention, and people have made her that way. So she made this deal with Nancy Pelosi to support her, and I don't think there are other people. I think that she is one of those people for Nancy Pelosi that has to review everything before Pelosi comes out on it. She's the one that kind of deal makes as a spokesperson for that progressive branch of Congress.
Well, I don't know how effective it is, because Pelosi says a whole lot of stuff that AOC would never say and doesn't like. Right. So I don't know how really, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
If I saw Nancy Pelosi come out and start spewing things that AOC says, then I would believe that. But maybe, you know, but I just don't.
Well,
that's
probably why you hear AOC say if she is the most progressive person, then she would support her again.
So Dr. Fauci is, speaking of voting, is suggesting that we, as a country, consider putting in effect a national mandate requiring masks to help with the numbers. Who's in favor of that? Who thinks that's a good idea? Raise your hands.
I'm in favor of everyone wearing a mask.
Me too.
Jen and I were saying this off the air earlier on. Earlier on, I forget what the stat was, but it came out over the weekend that from the University of Washington, Washington State, there was from their infectious disease department or whatever, a new study came out that said if 95% of Americans started wearing a mask today, that 100,000 deaths could be prevented by
this
next
This is a
February.
Tough one to be against, Jennifer. It really
it's
is.
Not. It's actually the easiest thing in the world, and I'll tell you why. I'm for people making the choice to wear a mask, but it is unconstitutional. And do you want police to be out there giving out tickets, citations,
and like
putting
people
in
use
jail
their head
for
and not
wearing
so
a mask.
Selfish.
Does a law make people use their head?
But no, laws
do
don't make
people still
people
wear a seatbelt?
Maybe I'll put it in a different
don't.
Way. I think people who don't wear a mask are irresponsible and selfish. Not that what
that's
I think
fine.
Makes much
that's a totally appropriate statement. But can
really
you make
is.
It a law? No, you can't. It's not constitutional.
Well, he's the man. Is a mandate a law? I suppose it would be, right?
Mandate is a law.
Yeah. 18 past the hour on the DJV program. This is the early bird Halloween sale at Caledon. I was trying to figure out as I looked at this what the angle is for Halloween on losing weight. Well, turns out if you have a sweet tooth like I do and you overdo it, at Halloween, you know, we all think that Halloween is for children. Nope. How much candy are you eating? I went with my friend Bob Kay and his wife last night to an ice cream joint down in Rhode Island. And it was the sugariest, sweetest. I had a hot fudge, poured hot fudge onto cherry, some kind of ice cream. And I could just feel the sugar going. And that just leads, the carbs bleed you, they lead you right to adding weight. And there's all kinds of stuff around ice cream and candy and things. When you normally would eat one, you're now eating three. I know you. So, with the number three, you go to Caledron, the website, toploss.com. Treat yourself to healthy and safe weight loss. If you have a sweet tooth and you want sweet treats, then think of this as a treat for you. Don't be tricked out of healthy weight loss. Caledron is proven to be safe and healthy. It's the best weight loss journey you can take. Take it from me. I know, and so many people I know have lost weight. Could be easier than you think. So either capsules or liquid, doesn't make any difference. No interest payment plans. Right now, go to toploss.com and use the code DJV. And you'll be all set on your way to lose the weight. That's toploss.com.
Extend your life with Extendover. after about a month of Extendivite. I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight, and I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a 5-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from 3 times a week to once a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to 3 times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
Gotta Move On is the title of a new Toni Braxton song. Actually, there's a video that has come down over the weekend, Victoria. I'm Doug Steffen on the DJV program Music in this portion of each hour. And the focus right now is on Toni and this video for her new single, Gotta Move On, featuring a guest appearance from H.E.R. on guitar. Her. You told me to say her, not H.E.R. Right. Her. Song is paired with the story. That's one of those things. You know, it seems, I know that you're going to tell me that she's been around for a while. I just think, for whatever the reason, she's become very prominent, at least in our discussions here, more so than I can remember her. I don't remember that much about her. But now, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about her quite
Toni
a bit.
Toni Braxton or her?
No, her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
well, she's been around for a few years. Her's been around for a few years.
Braxton's had a number of hits. Actually, there's been quite a hiatus, though, hasn't there, between her
She did go away for a long time, and now she's been back over the last, I want to say, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Yeah. This song is paired with the story of a couple as they endure a difficult breakup in their relationship. Meanwhile, her delivers an electrifying guitar solo in the middle of the video.
Yeah, she's an amazing guitar player.
Is she? How old is she, this
Late 20s, I think.
Who taught her? How did she learn how to play? She's been playing it all her life?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people who have that skill, it's kind of like almost genetic. It seems they pick up as something and they can just automatically play. Anyway, is it an electric guitar or just
it's
a standard
right now.
Guitar? Electric guitar. Huh. This is just before the wife finally makes her decision to leave in the story, in the song. Braxton released her 10th studio album, Spell My Name, back in August. It was led by the single Do It, which arrived in April. This is Do It. Dance song, yeah? Pretty much
I think it's cool that she's kept her overall style, but it's more contemporary now. Because she was a little more of a ballad person when Toni Braxton first kind of hit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like her big hits were really more ballads, and I think she's kind of moved into a more contemporary sound, which is cool.
Yes. Anyway, Spell My Name, released a couple of years ago after Sex and Cigarettes, which Braxton promoted with her 2019 As Long As I Live tour. What a horrible name for a song. Touring plans have not been announced yet to support this song, but Tony's expected to announce dates soon, as is everybody else who wants to get back on the road and make the big bucks. Can't blame him for that. All right, 26 after here on the DJV Monday program, Kylie Minogue releasing the newest song from her upcoming album called Disco, drops next month. New single called I Love It continues her Studio 54 era vibe. Want to crank this up a little, see what we think? Yeah, dance music. This song follows previously released disco tracks Magic and Say Something. The record marks Minogue's 15th studio album and follows her 2018 album Golden. To celebrate the release of Disco, Kylie is performing a special ticketed live stream show called Kylie Infinite Disco. That will be on the 7th of November. Kylie says the show will take viewers through a parallel universe from solitary isolation to an alternative euphoric dance floor community of togetherness. Sounds like a nice idea.
I think I might watch this. This album is so good, and it just makes you, like, dance in your seat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's nice. You can't keep your... that's the mark of something successful in this genre. You can't sit still, can't keep your feet from moving. That's good.
This song, Magic, is so good.
So this show is going to air at 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific on Saturday the 7th. Tickets are on sale at dice.fm, dice.fm, $20. Get you in. All right, so that's the latest magic move, if you'll pardon the pun, from Kylie Minogue. We focus on it here, 28 after the hour on the DJV show.
We are living in difficult times where people fear having thought-provoking conversations about pressing issues. And although we're in the midst of an information explosion, there are a lot of forces aiming to distort what's true. I created the Bill Walton Show to provide a forum for in-depth, thought-provoking conversations with leaders, artists, entrepreneurs, and thinkers. Please join me at thebillwaltonshow.com to explore what's true, what's right, and what's next.
Fever is a leading symptom of the coronavirus, so take your temperature twice a day with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's quick and easy to use, and its accuracy is backed by more than 80 clinical studies. Have your family start and end their day with the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. Your family can take their temperatures in seconds to know where they stand in the fight against COVID-19. Protect your family from the spread of this deadly disease and stay safe with Exergen.
If you're one of the 40 million Americans buried in student loan debt, you need to listen to this and get ready to make a call that could save your life. It could take you decades to pay off your student loans, and that's crazy. The government created a special student loan repayment program, except you don't know how it works, but we do. At Modify Student Loans, we can lower your monthly student loan payments, qualify you for loan forgiveness, and help you restore your good credit even if you're in default. If you want to lower your monthly payment, write the number down. If you owe over $10,000 in student loans or are behind in your payments, we can help you. Call right now or put this number into your smartphone. 800-693-9040. That's 800-693-9040. Lower your monthly payments and qualify for loan forgiveness. Call Modify Student Loans now. 800-693-9040. We can help to lower your monthly payments, but you got to write this number down. 800-693-9040. That's 800-693-9040.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Millions of Americans are hurting as COVID-19 lockdowns keep people from working and the expenses of life keep mounting. Is political motivation keeping the suffering front and center this election? USA Radio News' Tim Berg has more.
Time is running out for a new coronavirus relief bill to pass before Election Day. One of the main sticking points is how much money should be going to cities and local governments. And according to Republican Senator John Thune, it's Democrats that are wanting to wait until after the election to help the American people out.
Money for the post office, money for farmers. I mean, we've moved a bill on the floor now twice in the Senate, but the Democrats have blocked it. So in the end, when the smoke clears after the election, hopefully we can sit down and people can, in good faith, start to compromise. But right now, my impression is that the House Democrats and Speaker Pelosi would much rather have the issue than they would have a solution. And we want a solution.
USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Sure, the world watches as Judge Amy Coney Barrett faces her final hurdle to become a justice. Also, on this historic day, NASA will have a special press conference about an exciting new discovery about the moon. The space agency has not revealed any details about the discovery, but said it could support deep space exploration. NASA will reveal the mystery at noon Eastern. World Series Game 5 goes to the Los Angeles Dodgers 4-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. Max Muncy was the ninth Dodger to home run in Game 5. He tells MLB some of the keys in the game.
It was a lot. Last night was obviously a little bit of a dud for us, but I think tonight really speaks to the volume of the guys we have in the clubhouse. You know, we were able to move past it. It didn't bother us. We went out and played our game tonight. I didn't feel like he was landing the curveball, and he went 3-1 heater, and I just thought I'd take a chance. Let's get the barrel out in front here in case he goes full count heater, and he put it right there for me. Mookie getting us started, that was kind of the whole game right there. He set the tone for us, and we just kind of carried it from there.
Game 6 is Tuesday, and Game 7 is Wednesday, if necessary, on Fox. The Colorado wildfires continue to burn. Colorado resident Tom Atkinson tells USA Radio News his accounts.
A catastrophic situation and scene I've never seen before in my entire life.
About a foot of snow Sunday is helping firefighters. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Here we are at 34 after the hour, Monday the 26th of October on the DJV program. Doug Steffen, Victoria Keelan, focusing on, I guess transportation is the category. This sounds like a question from, do you want to know a secret? Do you want to know what airline is going to stop blocking middle seats? Because a couple of them have been doing it, I think. As a matter of fact, the only exception earlier on was American that filled every seat no matter what, and that's what you'd expect from the management at American. But Delta is still, because I'm on a flight next week, and they blocked off all the middle seats. Southwest has been doing it, but apparently, Victoria, they're going to stop. Mm-hmm. So they want to sell all the seats beginning the 1st of December. They have the open seating policy. So what is this... I've never liked Southwest, frankly. I've never been on it, to be honest. It's not a good, not a great experience. I don't like the way the seats are crammed in. I don't know. It's just not my model. If you're
wanting to go someplace and you want to do it cheaply, that was how Southwest got started. But now they're just as expensive as everybody else. As a matter of fact, I think there are many instances you can find American is cheaper than Southwest on like routes. So, but the point here is it safer or is it okay because they mandate masks? You can't get on the plane without a mask. And there are all of the airlines hyping the new air filtration systems. So is it okay?
It's okay if people keep their mask on. A friend of mine just flew to D.C., or back home from D.C., to D.C. from Florida, and she said, like, everyone around her had pulled their masks down, and they left them that way. So what's the point of being on an airplane with your mask on if you're just going to pull it down below your nose or your mouth anyway? So she said flight attendants did not say anything, which that if the rule is the rule, then they have to enforce it. So I understand that there have been a few. Yeah, there have been a few instances where, you know, people have said something and then it turns into a fight on the air or whatever, or in the air. I get it. No one wants that to happen. But the rule should be, there should be an announcement from the captain, keep your mask on or we can fine
you. Throw you out of the plane at 35,000 feet.
Right. We can fine you. If you smoke in the bathroom, they fine you.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not? They have the ability to do it. So why not say if your mask isn't up at all time? That's why they've stopped serving meals, because they don't want people to be pulling their mask down to eat.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I don't think a lot of them are even
that's
serving beverages.
That's something I miss, much as the food's not great. There's something about that I miss, getting on the plane, having a meal, watching a movie, and taking a nap. That's my routine when I go back and forth across the country. And I've only done it once since March, but I'm going to do it again. I'll start doing it more now, because I really miss my children. I miss my grandson, and the weather's getting lousy here, so
yeah,
see
you
later.
Yeah, we've turned the heat on for the first time this weekend,
it's getting
cold.
Delta is blocking the middle seats until January. Alaska blocking middle seats until the end of November. Hawaiian has kept that policy up as well, with no end date. So that's if you're planning on flying. Last Thursday was the first time more than a million people were on a plane in a single day since the end of March. So people are getting back to it, but it's still hard to find the kind of schedules that at least I was used to, the convenience of having. And I understand that. They can't fly empty planes around all over the place, but it would be nice if people had a little more confidence in traveling. But listening to the fear-mongering of the news media,
Oh, my God. You're sounding like Archie Bunker with the news media.
I'm just sick of it. You know what, Victoria? I'm sick of it. Every time look at anything, it's just, this is horrible, that's bad, the fear here, don't do this, don't do that, don't have any the ability to make up your own mind. You know, it's really, it's pretty damned, it's damning, frankly. I'm going to get on to something that is makes us all feel good. You may or may not remember, I don't know how long ago it was when Daniel Wibben was here. I guess I should ask him, because it's tied to the fact that he is the maneuver design leader for this asteroid sample mission that has gone so successfully so far. Dan, welcome back to the DJV program. When did this all begin? I was trying to remember when we first talked to you the first time around, when you were getting ready to actually pilot this thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well. I think it was probably at least 4 years ago, before the spacecraft even launched. I think it was the last time that we spoke.
Good Lord. Well, the time moves on. So explain your experience as you're a systems engineer at an aerospace company that was responsible. Was it Kinetics that actually designed this mission or this vehicle?
No, we are just the navigation team. So it is our responsibility to understand the trajectory that the spacecraft is on and predict out where it'll be and what adjustments are needed in order to get the spacecraft where it needs to go. So we are the navigators for the mission.
All right. So since 4 years ago, what has your job consisted? Let's take us through a day in the life at work of Daniel Wibben.
Goodness. It's evolved so much as we've learned at being around this asteroid. We've just learned and had to kind of evolve just with what the asteroid has kind of thrown to us, sometimes literally.
Yeah. Just to make people aware. Give me a second, Daniel. Let me just bring people up to date. If you haven't seen the NASA website and you haven't experienced the excitement that was very obvious there, very evident this past week or so, when this spacecraft piloted by Daniel reached its destination. And when we first talked, and over the years there's been some, if you're a follower of NASA like I am, I love the space program. I think it's a great American institution, frankly, at this point. But the object was to go find something hundreds of millions of miles away that you couldn't see. And that, the concept, Daniel, is so mind-blowing when you get right down to it. So when they brought you in to do this, what did they tell you was going to be the mission, and did they, how thoroughly did they explain how difficult this was going to be?
Well, the problem is that we didn't know exactly how difficult it was going to be. We had some basic radar imagery of the asteroid before the spacecraft arrived. And as soon as the first images, detailed images of the asteroid came down, we realized we were in for a whole nother, we're kind of in a whole different game than what we had really expected, just with how rocky the surface was. The data we had prior to arrival, we expected it to be a sandy beach, with tons of area to possibly land and collect a sample. And when we get there, we see it just strewn with boulders all over the surface.
How big is this asteroid?
Really the first time.
In terms of...
It is 500 meters in diameter, so that's maybe just a couple of football fields across the middle.
And how much does it weigh? Any way of knowing what it weighs?
It weighs millions of pounds, but when you look at it compared to the mass of Earth, the gravity, you're dealing in a microgravity environment. It has, I can't remember the exact number, but it has something like one one-thousandth of the gravity that we experience here on Earth. So the analogy I like to think of is that if you were standing on the surface of this asteroid and you sneezed, you would shoot yourself off the surface and not be able to fall back down.
Wow. So in terms of how far away it is, when you first found it, how far away was it? How far away was it when you landed on it last week? And where is it going?
Yeah, so it is a near-Earth asteroid, so when you look at the scale of things in the solar system, it is relatively close. The orbit that the asteroid has around the sun puts it at a similar range from the sun as Earth. But at the time of landing last week, I think we were over 200 million miles away from Earth. It took the signal nearly 20 minutes to travel across space from the asteroid down to us here on Earth.
But think about
it's
that.
Kind of reaching kind of a maximum distance between the asteroid and the Earth, just at their points in their orbits right now.
Victoria, think about that. Just in terms of communication, the fact that you didn't know where it was when you started, the fact that it's 200 million miles plus away from us, the fact that you can send a signal from basically you're in a pilot facility, what does it look like, that facility that you're in, and that when you send a signal, you're the one who's sending you're maneuvering it. What's the process of deciding we're going to move it here, we're going to move it there, and then actually watching it? How does that all happen?
Yeah, so it doesn't, it sounds in some ways much more glorious than it probably actually looks in reality. Our office is just a bunch of computers. Because of the time delay in any communications with the spacecraft, it's not like a pilot. Like, I'm not sitting there with a joystick like you might think if you're like flying a plane or something.
Yeah.
Instead, because of that delay, we need to plan everything a day in advance. So we have to predict out where the spacecraft will be about 24 hours into the future, and use that to design these maneuvers. That are then just uploaded to the spacecraft to tell where it needs to point its thrusters and how long to turn them on for. And then we'll watch that. Of course, it happens 18 minutes in the past by the time we see it on that day. But all the planning has to come in at least a day in advance. And that's kind of the minimum amount of turnaround time that we can have to go through all the testing and everything, the whole process before anything would be uploaded to the spacecraft.
So that's kind of more the
timeline that we're looking at here.
Do you figure this out yourself? Does a computer figure it out? how do you know that, I mean, at this point you've been running it long enough so you know what the response is, but how do you know what you have to, I mean, I don't want to get into the weeds too much, but it seems fascinating when you think of the vast expanse of space, and again, the fact that it's hundreds of millions of miles away, that you can do something on a computer, and the and you send the signal. How does the signal actually get up to this? And the space, the vehicle itself is, I think you told me before, about the size of a washing machine. Was that right?
It's a little bit bigger than that. It's like the size of a small bus.
Small bus. Okay.
The closest. Yes.
Yeah.
But the communications here are done primarily through the Deep Space Network that is run by NASA. They have three large antenna complexes located across the world in California, Spain, and Australia. And we use those three stations with their large 34-meter antennas to communicate, just like any other NASA mission does. They use the same complexes to communicate with their spacecraft, whether they're at Mars or an asteroid like we are or anything like that.
What was the purpose originally of doing this? What do you expect to gain? And maybe you can bring us through what happened, what you were doing last week when this vehicle actually landed on the asteroid.
Right. So the primary goal of the mission is to collect a sample off the surface of an asteroid and bring it back to Earth. We can do significantly more analysis and studying of the material here on Earth than you could with a robot 200 million miles away. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge scientific value for bringing an asteroid sample of the size that we believe we have collected back to Earth. And the day of last week, I was really just an observer. Because of the time delay to 18 to 20 minutes, the spacecraft has autonomy on board. So that it kind of took itself down to the surface.
Really?
That we had kind of pre-programmed. Yeah.
So the fact I was watching this
kind of navigated it down.
It was on the surface only for a few minutes, though. Actually, after all this time, you'd have thought, okay, well, it'll land. How long was it on the surface?
6 seconds. We don't even call it a landing. We call it a touch and go. We just barely touched the surface enough to blow up some regolith and collect it, and then we backed away. Just 6 seconds.
All right. So then how do you turn the spacecraft around? If it's heading out in that direction, how does it get turned around to get back here with all that, with that stuff? 6 seconds. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 years of work for 6 seconds on the asteroid. But we will turn and fire the main engine thrusters to start the return to home coming up in the next few months with the sample returning back to Earth in about 3 years, in the end of September of 2023.
And will you be the pilot all the way through coming back as well? Is it the job? Is this job last at, or is your job over? You want to go do something else?
No, I'm seeing this one all the way through until that sample capsule is safely landed back here on Earth. So I'll be guiding it back and still be part of the navigation team.
All right, so what does a guy like you do? What's your next job after you've brought this back 3 years out? Then what does Daniel Wibben do?
There's always other missions going on that our company is involved with. There's another asteroid mission called Lucy that will be launching next year that my company is also involved with. Mm-hmm. It will be doing a tour of several Jupiter Trojan asteroids, kind of asteroids that are closer out to the asteroid belt. No sample returns for those, but just kind of remotely observing them.
Pretty amazing what man can do, isn't it, huh? With the mind that put this computer program together, developing this thing. My God, and the fact that you could be there and be a part of this. What great stories to tell your children, your grandchildren. Daniel, good to have you back again. Thank you. Congratulations on a job well done. Sounds like it's a part of everyday life for you, but not for the average person checking it out. Daniel Wibben here, the pilot of OSIRIS, the asteroid hunter, on the DJV program.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Not exactly dance music. 53.
Michael Myers music.
53 past the hour now. It's Movie Moments time. Chuck Curry is here to shine. Chuck is our movie man in Movie Moments. So, Chucker, what do we have playing here?
Actually, yesterday, Doug, which October 25th, 1978, that day in movie history, Halloween hit theaters, and it became the largest grossing independent film, ultimately, of all time back in the day. And what's interesting, I think I've mentioned this on the show before. One, it was the first film of Jamie Lee Curtis. It was the second film, I believe, of director John Carpenter, who actually did that music. And that music's the reason that movie, I think, has had so much staying power for so many decades. Yeah, and also the original title of that film was The Babysitter Murders. And the producer had an idea to change it to Halloween. And if that change was not made, I don't think we'd be talking about it right now.
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
Mm-hmm. Really? All right, how are the box office totals over the weekend, Chucker?
Not good. Honest Thief, number one again, $2.3 million. It dropped off 36% week to week, 7.5 in 10 days. Most of these movies had, you know, won one-point-something million dollars. I look at the slate of movies coming out in November, Doug.
Yeah,
and I got to tell you, if you own a, if you're a stockholder in a multiplex, I'd be pretty nervous. There's like literally nothing of any consequence coming out in the month of November. I have no idea what theaters are going to do. They're going to be playing older films. Like this weekend at our theater, this Friday, October 30th, I booked Silence of the Lambs from 91, John Carpenter's Christine, and Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho.
And that was my comment, Victoria, on the status of things at the theater.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
I mean, it is. I just want to point out, I was involved, and we did a drive-in experience at a resort here in the Poconos, the Shawnee Inn, on the front lawn. And we did
lawn?
A double feature on their lawn. Yeah, you know, a drive-in. People drove in. Yeah. We sold it out at 48 cars because the screen wasn't big enough to do 100. But we used a blow-up screen, and it was a little windy. And I got to tell you, it was unbelievably exhausting and hard to anchor that screen.
Otherwise.
And I had to hold it myself for like an hour during one of the films. Because some kid tripped over one of the stakes.
Lord.
But having said that, I could see the potential in doing it in the spring and the summer, and I think that will fuel enough revenue to keep our
all winter, really.
Theater.
You know, people can sit in their cars and stay warm, I would.
Once it snows, it becomes more problematic on the grass. But you can. Yeah. There are drive-ins on the Northeast that are going to do it throughout November at least, so. And that's the only place people are really going to the movies, Doug, is the drive-in.
Yep. So this new movie from Tom Hanks, supposed to be opening up this Christmas News of the World. What do you think is going to happen to that?
I don't think it'll open. Well, you know, the big story that broke over the weekend, and probably a little bit overblown, Bloomberg had an exclusive that MGM Universal was bidding out No Time to Die, their newest James Bond film, probably the last of Daniel Craig. Now, that was it's a $250 million production. There are reports that they've already lost $50 million on pre-marketing for the film when they pulled it a couple of times. I guess they had feelers for like $600 million. That's what they wanted. And Apple TV and then Netflix is a second bidder. Reportedly drew feelers back that they would pay maybe $400 million, which I still think is a ton of money.
Wow.
But unless Universal MGM, which co-own this new James Bond film, basically want to break even or make a couple bucks, and $100 million's not a ton of money for a big tentpole popcorn movie like that in terms of profit, I think they're going to sit on it. And if they have to sit with
They'll destroy the business. Yeah. They keep this up, and these guys will destroy the business. In the name of a few bucks.
After the last Timothy Dalton James Bond movie, they waited 6 years to do another one. They can wait. They can hold this movie another year if they have to. If people haven't seen it, when it finally opens in theaters and things are back to, you know, semi-normal and 90% normal, or hopefully 100% normal, people will go. I don't see the point of streaming it, but that sent shockwaves, I think, through the industry and also movie fans. It really did. Hopefully, I'm glad it did not happen.
Netflix has they've dropped the teaser for The Prom, you know, that movie with Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I heard of it. I didn't watch it. It looked good.
I don't know. I'm just interested. Once again, here are a couple of big stars going to Netflix.
Yeah. It is, you know, I don't know the budgets. I like to know, eventually they're going to release the exact business models of this stuff. How much it costs, what do they make, what is their subscribership. I like to know the breakdown.
Yep. And have a good thought for Arnold, who's in the hospital having a heart operation. But I think he's going to be...
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.